Back here on Sports Talk, first day of padded practices at Saints training camp. Helping us break it down right now, Cajun Cannon, Saints sideline reporter and WWL's digital content producer, Jeff Nowak. How you doing, Jeff? How was your first day out there? It seemed a pretty, at least mild one, but me and the Cannon were hanging out in the shaded area with some fans and misters blowing on us.
Yeah, we were the VIPs.
Yeah, you guys had the VIP treatment. I was out in the sun, taking in the rays. Yeah, I'm feeling good, though. How about you guys?
Well, doing great, Jeff. And I know you're a man of a lot of wisdom and how you look at practice and everything. And tell me that I'm not way out of line. And I say, wait a minute, this is way too early. What are you talking about? They had one practice. But if I look at my crystal ball and how coaches think, because I've been around a lot of players, I mean, coaches who played the game, which the Saints have a lot of, like June Jones and all that, was with Steve Borkowski. This is old school. But I could see how you want a player to be confident. Like Derek Carr's brother, David Carr. Remember when the Houston Texans, he was shattered. He was like ruined his confidence. There's so much about confidence. I brought this up. I said, maybe I should wait. But I said, no, I'm saying this because this is what I believe right now. And what I witnessed, I could see that the Saints taking the approach, and now it's a poor man, Drake May, with the Patriots, but I could see the Saints maybe treating Tyler Shuck, now if he goes out and ball in the preseason, then you put him in there, but almost take it baby steps. And what I mean by that, Drake May, isn't everyone so fired up about him playing for the Patriots right now and how he ended the season? And with Vrabel and all, what are they going to do?
They've got hope going into the year.
Yes, they got hope. He didn't start till like week six against the Texans. So I could see Spencer Rattler being the sacrificial, I don't know if that's the right word, lamb, where some people might look at it. Well, they didn't really give Spencer a chance because the team didn't have the continuity in. But Spencer has to look at it. It's an opportunity. I get to be a starter again that, to me right now, Spencer Rattler would start against the Cardinals. Let's say, okay, we play in this Sunday. Okay, Rattler, you're starting the game. You're going to be the quarterback. And now, if we're winning, you stay the quarterback and all that. But what they have invested in Tyler Shuck, I think is kind of poor man's Derek May.
Drake May.
Do you think I'm out of line on that, Jeff? I think I know how teams kind of do this and how they want Tyler Shuck to succeed. They want Spencer Rattler to succeed, but Tyler Shuck is their guy. Spencer Rattler, they inherited. And Spencer Rattler, oh, poor Spencer Rattler. Looked like everybody's hurt. He had no supporting cast. The team's not coming together. Well, hey, you know what? You're in the NFL. Just win. Just win, and then it takes care. It's all about opportunities.
Jake Haener only got a half.
Yeah, he didn't even have a whole game. He had a half. Okay, you're out of there. And then, look, Jake Haener, how he's handling himself in practice. Listen, in the NFL, quarterbacks are great living, but you got to last. And how you handle yourself in the meeting rooms and on the practice field and games and all that. But right now, I don't know. We got to let the competition play out. But I'd be somewhat surprised if Tyler Shuck could turn that corner. Now, you still got, 3 weeks? I wouldn't even say a month. I'd say about 2.5, 3 weeks to convince the coaches. But I think right now Spencer Rattler just seems more poised. I don't like it. What I brought up to Kellen Moore is that Tyler Shuck is scrambling too much on 7-on-7. And there's no pass rush.
Well, we'll see, Bobby.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, we'll see. So, Jake, I know that was long-winded, but just break that down.
No. I don't know what you're talking about, Bobby. No. So I'm right there with you. And you did ask Kellen about it today, and he did say, hey, we do emphasize the scramble drills. It's part of the game. And I understand what he's saying there, but at the same time, a scramble in 7-on-7 should be rare. It should not be something that happens once a practice.
Back-to-back plays.
Yeah, and in this instance, it happened on back-to-back plays, and they looked almost identical. And, like, I appreciate, hey, you don't want to throw an interception, you don't want to force something, but at the same time, practice should be where you test your limits and figure out what you can get away with, what you can't get away with. And I just don't think you gain much from pulling the ball down and scrambling. I really don't. And I think that's one of my issues with Tyler. And I brought this up basically all throughout camp to this point, is I think he's a little too risk averse for his own good right now.
Right.
Sure feels it, right.
All that said, you know, going in, I kind of had Rattler as kind of my penciled in guy for that exact reason, because I think people get caught up in, oh, the investment, they drafted him, whatever, and they kind of lose sight of the fact that this is not a one-year play. This is a,
right.
Hey, is he ready to start or is he not ready to start? It's not he's going to be a Hall of Famer or cut by the end of training camp. It's, is he ready to go in there week one and have a chance for success? Or does he need more time in the oven? And to this point in camp, and we're 5 days into camp, to this point in camp, I would say that if we had to play a game tomorrow, he's not ready to play in that game. And obviously the age is a factor, and you feel like, oh, he's 25, he should be ready. It's really not going to factor in. Like, you're either you're ready or you're not. And at this point, I would have to say Spencer is the guy that I would put in there, just because I feel like he has a better chance for success. And I don't want, like, the one thing I don't want to do is put Tyler Shuck in week one and then have to bench him in week six because it's gone so badly. We put him in before he's ready. He's
right.
Losing all of his confidence. Like, that's what I want to avoid. If that goes the other way and you end up having to bench Spencer because you start him week one and things don't go well, then you at least have done right by Tyler and not put him in a bad situation. Just like the Patriots did with Drake May. I agree with you completely.
Without a doubt.
Jacoby Brissett. So, no, I'm right there with you. And there's a lot of time left. Like, I think we're overreacting a little bit considering we had the first padded practice today. There's three preseason games. But, no, I'm right there with you.
Yeah, and, you know, the one thing we talked about this earlier, Jeff, and, you know, and a fan. Well, who's that fan, Charlie? I can't think of his name. Unique name. He brought it up. He called in and he said it's true. Well, we have invested in offensive line. Offensive line can't just be good or very – what was that, Rhett? Yeah, Rhett. Rhett was right on. Offensive line has to be great. You know, we look at the Eagles' offensive line.
First-round picks.
Yes, and look at McCoy. Even where he, that's like,
well, we know he's steady, Eddie.
Yeah, but early second, I think.
Yo, right.
Yeah, so it's like that's what we've invested in. So you want to be doing things right, and you kind of mirror or just look in the mirror – kind of how the Eagles are structured. Okay, they're winning on the offensive defensive line with their offensive line. They had the two top tackles in the top five and all how they graded. So that's what the Saints are trying to do. So, hell yeah, we got to come together as an offensive line, I think, to have a chance when you start winning maybe games that I don't know about that. We're not favorite, but you're winning six or seven games. Offensive line has to be great. That'll help out your quarterback, the whole run game, all that. You look at the skill people. But offensive line, there's no excuse if they're not eventually great once they come together. Now, because of the collective bargain agreement and the way it's structured, they just finally got to practice today like it's real football, where in the past you'd have more chance to develop as a unit. But there's no excuse. That's the way the rules are today. So you got to come together. And, Jeff, I'm going to be really mad or upset if our offensive line doesn't come together, because that, to me, should be the strength of our team. Not only the offense, but the whole team, simply because that's what we've invested in the draft.
Yeah, I agree with you. And like, I think, you know, there's a lot of negativity around the Saints and how things are going to go poorly. They have no quarterback, you know, whatever. For this team to punch above its weight and win more games than you expect, it's going to be if they have a top five offensive line and a rushing attack that can protect a quarterback. Not unlike what happened with the Cowboys in 2016 with Dak Prescott. They started, he was a fourth round pick, a rookie, started week one, but right. They were able to supplement him while he was learning in real time with Ezekiel Elliott and the best offensive line in football. Right now, I don't think the Saints are going to be the best offensive line in football, but you have four first round picks and a high second round pick. You have a first-round pick that you're moving into guard in Trevor Penning. And I don't know about you, but like I appreciate what I'm seeing out of Trevor in that role because I just think it suits everything he wants to do a lot better. Now, obviously, the body type isn't exactly what you'd look for at guard, but he would get into trouble when he would just get kind of lost in space. He would have to wait, right. Be patient, and then just get out of position, get beat inside, get beat outside. at guard, you're kind of just playing in a phone booth. Like most reps, he's just going to be able to, you know, okay, see guy, get guy. Like that guy's in front of him. Go hit that guy. And he's not going to miss because there's nowhere to miss.
Yeah, you got the center to help you. And you got, you're caught in the center and the tackle, and you could tend to be a mauler. And then plus, you know, I think, okay, we drafted him to be a tackle, and he ended up going from tackle to guard to tackle from Stanford. He's a giant of a man, Andres Pete. And even the Raiders had signed him at tackle. He didn't even like football, but he was so big he had to play football. And he had to somewhat like it. But Andres Pete, you know, this could be from a psychological standpoint, mental standpoint, and Trevor Penning doesn't have to do this. You don't have to block, now I'm thinking, I got a brain fart from the Rams.
Aaron Donald.
What? Now, that can mess with your head. Like, because he's so dominant that, okay, Trevor Penning, though, Aaron Donald would embarrass him. But you're not going against those kind of cats. Maybe the Eagles and all you're playing, but that's why I think it's going to bode well for him.
No Eagles this year.
It's going to bode well for him on the inside, Jeff, like you said.
I'll tell you one other thing. Like, one thing I appreciate about Trevor in this situation is that he's all for it. Like, this is not a situation where the coaches are like, hey, we're going to move you to guard. And he's like, okay, fine, I'll do it. You're paying me. Like, I talked to him earlier in the offseason, and he was excited about it. Like, they called him up and asked him, hey, we're thinking about moving you to guard. And he was like, yeah, great idea. I think my skill set works great at guard. And I think that, like, being open to it and being excited about it is important here. He's going into a contract year. Like, this is possibly what gets him another contract at the NFL level, because I don't think anyone was going to sign him to anything extensive at the tackle position. If he goes out and excels at guard, you know, I think Mekhi Becton signed with the Chargers for 2 years, $20 million, something in that range.
Hello.
Like, you're putting yourself in a position to extend your NFL career, and maybe that's here. And if it is, and you suddenly have a young, established offensive line, all five spots locked down, that's fantastic. So, no, I think I'm cautiously optimistic, and a lot of it's going to come down to health. Hopefully, Ted Rath and company, their plans, they're very scientific about it. They're counting steps and stuff. Like, there's a lot going on. Hopefully, they can figure out how to stay healthy and you can get a full season out of that group, because I think they can be good.
You know, Jeff, that's a great point with Becton. They hate him in New York. He was a bust with the Jets. I go, get him out of town. All of a sudden, his confidence might be a little shattered. He goes to the Eagles. He's a Super Bowl champ at guard. Now, like you said,
cha-ching.
He parlays that into a $20 million to 2 year deal. And so that's a win-win. How can you last? Trevor's going into his fourth season. Okay, ultimately, I can tell you how NFL players think. Now, you might say, I'll take it year by year. But you know what all NFL player wants to do? Because it just sounds better if you play double digits. If you make 10 years versus 7 or 8. You know, like if you're Jim Brown, I don't know, I'm going to be a movie star. I'm going to play 7 years. I'm still a Pro Football Hall of Famer. Gale Sayers, you know, going old school. When you got players that could play like 7 years and they're Pro Football Hall of Famers, man, that's like dominant. But I'm just saying, as a player, you get well compensated. That's like Cordell Patterson. I didn't realize this. He gets cut by the Steelers. And I go, man, that guy can return. He was a Saints killer. I remember him just running the ball like this big running back, like number 84, like a receiver number. And he's back there. But all of a sudden, I'm looking, like, he's played 13 years. That's a great career. Look at Honey Badger, just retired. Well, what he had, 12 years? Well, whatever, off the top of my head.
It was 12.
Yeah. So it's like, I'm telling you how players think. And they go like I played till I was 37. I felt like, okay, now, in hindsight, I thought I should have milked it and went with George Seifert, the Carolina Panthers, that Steve Berline then, but my elbow was shot. I could have stole maybe $1 million, and then I didn't want to do it. My ego got in the way. This day and age, my ego would not have gotten in the way. I would have taken that money. I'm going to tell you with Derek Carr.
I'll give you an example. Yeah. Wait, I can give you a good example, though. So, like, think of Ryan Ramczyk. Think of his career. Like, he had a great career, but, you know, you look back on it, and it was just so short. Like, it was, what, 6 years? And suddenly it's like, what would that
right.
doesn't
and he's
feel
gone,
like?
Right.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden he's gone, and it's like, man, that's a short career. Like, he was a 2017 draft pick. He was great, but it was so
short.
Doesn't feel like you got it all because it was only 6, 7 years.
Well, and I was going to bring up as far as like contracts and on hindsight, like Derek Carr. I could tell you, what did Derek Carr give up, like $30 million or whatever? I can't recall, but I know in offseason I was thinking about this.
And, for retiring?
Yeah, for retiring.
Yeah.
Okay, because he, in theory, could have taken that $30
million. Gone on the physically unable to perform.
Okay, yes, I'm trying. My shoulder's too shot. I'm going to get surgery. I want that $30 million. Oh, Derek Carr's greedy. You know how he wants to be a preacher and all that? And how about feed the children, or so the world? Okay, don't take that $30 million and give it to Gaza and all that. You want to like starving kids? Or you want to do something good for the world?
He's got to buy Rolls Royces, though.
No, you could do that, too, but he already got that, the electric Rolls Royce, whatever. But I'm saying that extra $30 million, you know, kind of take it from the rich, give it to the poor. The Saints got a lot of money. I mean, he's going to stay in California. He's not even going to come here. But you take that $30 million to Saints because of the contract would have owed you. You could all of a sudden be an ambassador. You could be like a poor man Bill Gates. Oh, I'm giving it to this charity. I'm giving it to that charity. And nobody, how can anybody talk bad about that if you're not keeping it? You understand what I'm saying?
Saints fans would find a way.
How can you be against it?
Because it's Derek Carr.
You get like feed the children, whatever. You know, Doctors Without Borders, whatever. You promoting and you giving to good cause. So I don't know. That's in hindsight, old wisdom. What I would have did is said, okay, I'm not just out and out retiring. This is what my contract says, and I've dealt with contracts, is that I'm going to try and play, and then if I can't play, I have to have shoulder surgery. I want that $30 million.
Jeff, folks can check
out. I'm going to give it to the poor.
Folks can check out your practice report at WWL.com. You got anything else in the works we can be looking out for?
Yeah, I just posted a story on Julian Blackmon. You know, he gave us the context to Brandon Staley yelling. I've been waiting 5 years for that after his interception the other day. So, you know, some interesting background there. Like, they go way back to 2020 with the Rams. Staley wanted to draft him. The Colts stole him. So it's a cool reunion that they got going on. You can check that out.
WWL.com, your spot for everything Saints football. Jeff, thanks so much for the time, man. Be talking to you soon.
Sure, y'all have a good one.
All right, Jeff.
It's our Saints sideline reporter and WWL's digital content producer, Jeff Nowak.